Before we get started with today's show, I want to remind you about another great ESPN podcast, SV Pod. Scott gets some of the best guests out there. Be sure to check it out. You can download and subscribe to SV Pod as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcasts. Let's talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career and is already a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. There are millions of unfilled cybersecurity positions in the U.S. right now, and My Computer Career is training people to help fill them. No IT experience or education? No problem. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get what you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so make new year, new career your resolution and take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars, only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. Coming up on this episode of The Right Time, we got some, you know, a few different Super Bowl things we want to talk about. Also going to talk about Friday night at the Staples Center, play a game if he's still in the league. But first, oh, the Super Bowl came around, and as many of you know, let me be clear about this. I want to be clear about this because I want y'all to understand what kind of dude I am, right? Okay? I don't take that much pleasure in being right. I don't take much shame out of being wrong, right? Because sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. That's just going to be the case. That's just what it's going to be. Every now and then, you be right about something, and people try to tell you that you tripping, and you know that the reason that they think you tripping is something that is utterly preposterous and indefensible, right? And that emboldens you. That makes you get strong. And then the moment finally comes, and you get to be right, and you got to stun on that a little bit. Let me give you a little example of this. Gabe, I don't know, now that I think about it, you were a little young for this, but do you remember Tebow Mania? I mean, you remember it, obviously.
Oh, yes.
You weren't working in the business at the time, is what I mean. Like 9 years ago, right? So you're in college. You wasn't having to come to work every day and deal with this, right? You wouldn't have to show up every day and have people basically try to say it's magic, right? Because that was the whole thing about Tebow. Tebow's terrible. Yeah, but he's magic. You know, every explanation that people had for the madness that was going on in 2011, it all came back to, but he's magic, right? And I'm going to limit it to magic because I know that some of y'all was thinking it was Jesus, and I'm not trying to say that Jesus and magic are the same thing. I'm just saying magic is a broadly applicable term that everybody understands. That makes sense. That seemed cool. But it was just magic. There was no explanation to it, right? Just like, oh, there's something about him. And I was getting driven crazy and had people try to tell me, but he's good. Why? Because they won. And nothing, I repeat, nothing infuriates me more than the idea that he's good because they won. That's it. The idea that a quarterback wins a game. And y'all did that same damn thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. Y'all did that whole same damn thing with him, right? Like, yo, man, Jimmy ain't really good. But he had a good game against the Saints and they've been winning. I'm telling you, man, Jimmy ain't really good. I'm just saying, but something's going to happen, man. It's hard to make it 3 or 4 playoff games in a row without needing your quarterback to make some plays. But they don't need it because they got the running game. And you know what? The 49ers might not have needed it in that game because they had the running game. That is absolutely possible. They might not have needed it because they had the running game. But Kyle Shanahan in the fourth quarter was like, running game? What running game, baby? We got Jimmy. And it came down to, hey, we need Jimmy to come out here and make a couple of plays. Gabe, did Jimmy make any plays in the fourth quarter? I don't even remember him making no plays in like the third quarter. Did he make any plays?
Define make a play.
So you don't?
Well, he connected with some receivers from time to time throughout the course of the game, but it wasn't play action.
Yeah, I mean, but it was like he was 18 for 20 with that one awful interception, right? He tried to give a couple of them away too. And then after that, it was just like pew, pew, pew. What'd you think, by the way, of that interception he threw with his eyes closed?
I knew you were going to get to that. I knew you were. You know what? At the time, it seemed particularly egregious. And then when you saw the videotape, like the run back, the highlight, I was like, damn, he really did have his eyes closed. I mean, the idea that he had was like, all right, I'm going to quickly try and rope this out of bounds. But he clearly didn't put enough mustard on it.
Let me tell you what idea he had. This is what his idea sounded like. Oh, no! That was his idea. Somebody get this ball out of my hand! You see when he tried to throw the ball, like when he was getting sacked on that fourth down?
Oh, I saw.
And he was just like, somebody, anybody, take the ball! You remember that?
I thought you were going to go with the pew, pew, pew.
Dude, he just... And I feel bad because I wind up being the cat going all extra hard on it. And I'm sure it appears to some of y'all that I got some kind of beef with young James. And I got no beef with James. I got no beef with James whatsoever. He's the American dream, right? Not as good as his salary indicates. That's what I want to be. I always want to get paid like I'm better than I am. So, like, good for Jimmy in that regard. But it just all shook out. Shanahan, who is a great offensive coach, I push back against this idea of these people being geniuses, right? But he's a very good offensive coach. And they had really drummed up a serious running game. A really serious running game. They ran for 160 yards in that game or something like that. They had it. And then they didn't want to throw the ball anymore. That's right, Gabe, you a fan of this. How'd that make you feel?
It hurt, Bo. It hurt.
How much did it hurt, Gabe?
Well, I would say, I was telling my wife this, that my fandom and my passion has been squelched over the last couple of years, where I've like come close to winning it all and then I just haven't won it all. Like, I ran into this guy Stosh, you know Stosh,
I know Stosh,
who is a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Oh, how he must be walking on air.
Oh yeah, well, so yesterday he was wearing a Chiefs hat, a Patrick Mahomes jersey, and had like a cup out, and he also had at his desk, which I hadn't seen before, a Kansas City Chiefs flag, which kind of is similar to the 49ers flag that I have in my desk, right? So he's got like the other side of the coin. So I asked Stosh, how you feeling, Stosh? He's like, oh, I feel pretty damn good. I was like, you haven't gone that long between championships, because he won the championship with the Royals not too long ago. So which one is sweeter? He's like, oh, you know, now that people have been asking me about that, I was like, you know what? It must be nice to be able to decide which championship you feel sweeter about. Oh. The Dodgers, my team, have come very close within the last 5 or so years. Haven't quite done it.
Nope, haven't won a...
49ers have gotten close. Haven't quite done it. So I don't feel good.
I've lived long enough to see the Dodgers win a World Series, but you haven't. I was 8 years old. Yeah, yeah, it's got to be rough, man. Got to be rough. Unfortunate. And Richard Sherman got torched.
Oh, man. Yeah. As a 49 fan, I feel a little bit conflicted about our buddy Sherm.
Because you had to come back around on him in the
first
place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like a Stanford guy. And my dad went
right to
Cal. So Stanford's like not so great in my house, you know. And then to watch him get burned after he was going in on Darrell Revis. And he got burned. He got absolutely torched.
And didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Did not feel good.
Sorry. Yeah, man, Bosa was having a good game.
Ain't my man, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, Bosa was having a good game. No, man. Jimmy had to throw to make to win the Super Bowl, by the way. He'd have still been as mediocre as he's always been, but he had to throw. Third down to Emmanuel Sanders. He had to throw. You remember that?
The play where he underthrew him?
He overthrew him.
Oh, so there's that one. And then there's the other one where he underthrew him, but Sanders is dope, so he still caught it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it resulted in like a 10-yard gain instead of like a 40-yard gain.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, lots of throws to look back on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, and you guys did a great job on Mahomes.
Yeah, I kind of like want to divorce myself away from you guys now.
I mean, your boys.
These aren't my boys either. I don't know.
Are you excommunicating the 49ers because they lost in the Super Bowl?
I can't take much more of this.
I really like that team, by the way. Like, I really like the way that Shanahan runs the offense. Like, I like guys who run. I like running games. I like a strong running game. I like the deep shots. I love the way that defense plays. There's so much about that team that I like. And they had everything to win a Super Bowl except their quarterback away. Right? It's right there. They are a quarterback away. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are like, we won't be a quarterback away from anything for another 10 or 12 years. We got the man. We got Jordan. And Jordan didn't play well for three quarters. And then came that fourth quarter. Like, you had to be, like, sized up, right? Through the first three quarters, watching him play like boo-boo?
I didn't want to get too optimistic.
But you did, didn't you?
I did. I thought it was in the bag. I thought we had secured the bag.
He did. But it was a great season. It was a great season. Right, right, right.
Yeah, we'll be forgotten about 5 to 10 years down the road.
Damn, you already just writing it off? Have you already forgotten 2012?
Well, if you don't win a chip, you get forgotten, right? Like that 49ers team, that era of 49ers football under Harbaugh has been forgotten about.
Really?
They didn't win a chip.
Y'all ain't won a Super Bowl recently enough to be that greedy.
Well, okay. Well, so the 49ers have 5 Super Bowl rings.
Yes.
Right? So they're not going to talk about a team. And, well, with that Harbaugh team, you know, there was some friction, I would say.
Yeah.
So that like, regime has kind of been wiped away. Y'all ain't, those
won a,
parts.
Y'all ain't won a Super Bowl in 25 years, and you're going to forget about going to one.
We'll try to forget. There's a difference between forgetting and trying to forget,
because mm-hmm.
people will try to forget, especially when it was painful.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting that I noticed going into this game? So I've got these 49ers Super Bowl pins at my desk,
mm-hmm.
and 2 of the 5 Super Bowl championships that they've won have been in Miami.
That's correct.
So this would have been 3 of 6 titles if they had won.
That's
3
right.
of 6 would have been in Miami. Kind of interesting.
Yep, 94 and 88.
Hmm?
They won them there. Y'all even got to play a Super Bowl home game once.
Yeah, I know. The
not
Dolphins.
Enough is made of that, by the way.
Yeah, in Palo Alto. Like not even like 49ers Stadium or like Candlestick. I'm talking about like Stanford Stadium. Yeah,
they're right there. They're right there. They didn't even stay in a hotel. They didn't want to. They had it. They had it. So what'd you think about your man Shanahan, bro?
Lil Shanny.
What'd you think? Like after the game.
If he's going to be one of those coaches, kind of like Andy Reid, where you go like your whole career with getting to the precipice of it and not actually getting it done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How would you feel about that? Consistently good teams that don't win Super Bowls. Could you be happy?
Do I seem happy?
I said, could you be? Could you be?
Well, I'm not happy with it currently, and I won't be happy if this continues. I'll tell you that much.
I've never heard this demanding side of you come out.
It's less demanding and more resignation. I'm resigned to a future of pain.
Yeah, because you didn't get to. That's right. You probably don't even got no memory of the last Super Bowl win at all.
No.
This don't mean nothing to you.
No.
Damn. You just kind of feel like a loser right now. Damn. But you know what? Sometimes we need something like that. Because they was, you know what your squad was doing, Gabe? And this happens, man. Y'all was in the way of progress. That's all it was. Y'all was standing in the way of progress, in the way of history. The game needed Mahomes to, like, be solidified as the top dude in the game. And that's what we got as a result. We got Mahomes at the top of the game now. Mahomes on the way to being Jordan. We couldn't let Jimmy Garoppolo mess that up, could we? Could we?
Always good to be a casualty of progress. People remember those teams.
You're not a casualty of progress. You're a contributor. You're a contributor, right? See, you're looking at it the wrong way. So, like, think about the Rocky movies, right? You know, the Rocky movies, especially the early ones, like, they came back around on it. But it was basically white people getting really, really excited about a boxer beating a black dude. As realistic a premise as there has ever been. Now, in the first Rocky, of course, he did not beat Apollo. But think about this, Gabe. They ain't even really tell you that he did not beat Apollo in the first movie. They just end the movie with him fighting Adrian. Hey, it don't matter that he lost, right? Of course it matters that he lost. He lost, right? But in the next fight, he goes out there and he beats Apollo Creed. And, you know, I'm a little salty about the way they play that because I see what's underneath, right? Game has been peeped. Except Apollo. This is what was necessary for Rocky to become Rocky, right? We as a people kind of just had to take this one for the team, and Apollo had to lose so that Rocky could become Rocky, right? But we contributed to the progress of Rocky. In fact, that's what the whole rest of the movies are until Apollo gets killed, is about him contributing to Rocky. We being helpful. And that's kind of the same thing that happened for your guys, man. In fact, I think the way to follow this up, Gabe, is if after this, with their contributions, the 49ers go like, what's his name? Jimmy Garoppolo. Quit your job and go over to Kansas City and just work as like a valet for Patrick Mahomes. Help him achieve. Pay back for, you know, pay it forward on the Rocky thing. What'd you think? This thing on?
It's on. It's on.
I'm just saying, you got to think about something bigger than you.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Just like Andy Reid. Andy Reid be thinking about things bigger than him.
History loves a loser.
Look, Andy Reid be out here helping people. You know, stuck his neck out there for Michael Vick. when he got out of jail. You dig? All these players that really like him. Come on now. Y'all were helping with that. Y'all were helping with Mahomes to get to where he was. You were helping with Andy Reid finally achieving what he deserves. Oh, well, that's what happens when you're a quarterback away. All right, we'll be back to talk about Jay-Z in a minute, but first, hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, and growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskovitz experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting his job to ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed by how quickly candidates were applying and found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder how 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BOMANI. All right, so we had like Super Bowl commercials. I only had one line that really jumped out in the commercial. It's like, wow, that's what's up. And it was, and I quote, "I ain't erasing." Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one.
Did you see the Alexa commercial where like what people did before Alexa?
I did not see that
Okay. And, you know, I ain't down with Alexa. We talked about this. So they did a commercial for Alexa. And I was like, what do we do before Alexa? And it made me very, very nervous, right? Because it starts off and they go back to like medieval times or whatever, like the feudal time, right? And so this woman says, Alexa, go like clean the candlestick holder, whatever it was. And it was basically an old white lady telling some servant in the home to go do something. Because that's what they, you know, that's what you had to do before Alexa. And so the white lady tells somebody to do something, and then some young white lady then goes and does things because she is Alexa and she is the servant. And I'm watching it and I'm like, yo, if there's ever been a time I don't want diversity in advertising, this is it right here. I saw all the room for disaster for where this tell Alexa to do stuff thing could go. Like, I was like, oh my God, don't do that. Skip that. Please, please, please don't go all the way through history. No, skip that, skip that. And then they skipped it. And they went through all these different things. And then they got to like the 1970s. It's a takeoff of Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon screams to the offices, Alicia, erase those tapes. Cause you know, Nixon had a thing with the tapes. And she goes, okay. And then looks at the camera and says, the black woman looks at the camera and says, I ain't erasing. No, she didn't say, but you know, that was the cut. That was it. But I noticed something else interesting, and it all ran together with this other thing interesting that I saw. So chronologically speaking, the first interesting thing I saw, did you see Jay-Z in the long spread that the New York Times did on him?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, the New York Times is typically giving Jay-Z friendly coverage, but it really laid out like it was a very flattering piece about Roc Nation. That would be the best way to put it in general. A very flattering piece about Roc Nation that spelled out what exactly Roc Nation does. And then underspelling out what Roc Nation does, it then got to talking about how Roc Nation, how they found a way basically to be rich people who do good things for society. So it's like, okay, cool. So we find out about a cause. This I thought was interesting. So we find out about a cause. And say the cause is in Philadelphia, then we're going to call Meek Mill and we're going to put Meek Mill on board with, you know, pushing that cause, whatever it happens to be. Now, I think that puts you in an interesting situation as an artist, because what if the cause that they're trying to get you on is not a cause that you support? I think that I thought was interesting, but it was very much so trying to make the case that Jay-Z is the billionaire with a heart of gold, and Jay-Z is the billionaire who has figured out how it is to do good for people within the context of this corporate structure, which is the way that people are okay with, because people are okay with rich people out here doing stuff, but they got a problem with his poor people out here raising hell. But they're okay with, you know, the idea of Jay-Z doing this. And it all screamed out to me, considering that this came out on the weekend, I mean, on the day of the Super Bowl, and they're talking about how this is Roc Nation Super Bowl and everything else. Is Jay-Z trying to clean up what it looked like when he did that stuff this summer involving Kaepernick? Or was it the fall? Whenever it was, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It's a big cleanup job that was going on there. But there was something larger that seemed to be taking place here that I found to be fascinating, which is I ain't never seen so many commercials during the Super Bowl committed, supposedly, to the plight of the African-American. We got the Inspire Change ads, where we got the Botham Jean Inspire Change ad. We got the Anquan Bolton Inspire Change ad about his cousin, I believe, being killed by the police. And then we had, for all you keep these politics out of my sports, you had an ad for Donald Trump where he positioned himself as a champion for racial equity and sentencing. And then we had an ad from Mike Bloomberg, who basically was doing something very, very, very similar. Everybody out here trying to convince us that they care about black people. How many of these people you think actually care about black people in the ways that we're talking about here, right? Because all this happened in this Super Bowl, and it happened at the same Super Bowl where we witnessed something very interesting. National Anthem came. Jay-Z and Beyonce, they did not stand up. They just sat down. I don't know why they sat down, but they just sat down. That's their right. I don't care if they stand or not, but it is interesting to me that Jay-Z shows up to this after saying that we are beyond kneeling, and then all he does is just sit down during the national anthem, which, by the way, ties into something I've been telling y'all for a long time, which is the Marshawn Lynches of the world, the dudes who just decided they were going to sit and not say a word about it, all of them skated and nobody asked any questions. Jay-Z basically wound up in that same situation. Then we find out, because somebody put it on the Instagram, that the president was up in his suite, and while the national anthem was going on, he wasn't really honoring America so much, although he did, like, take his hands and act like he was conducting the band. He did that, and I think he was, like, tapping people, trying to get their attention during the national anthem, like, while it was playing. This is the man who said that everybody should honor the national anthem, stand proudly when it's played, and talked about how guys who didn't stand for the national anthem or didn't respect it should get fired. There he was up there in his booth doing the complete opposite thing. And does that not tell you what a farce the last 3 years have been with the NFL and things related to the national anthem and so-called social justice? Like, does this not just spell out what a con this is for everybody who is involved? Right? And this is what I mean. The con is that any of that stuff was ever, ever, ever about the anthem itself. Like, that's the biggest con, is that it was ever about the anthem itself. And it's important to understand that that is a con for you to understand what exactly is happening with Colin Kaepernick and why it is that these other guys can exist in the way that they do. So I had a problem with the Botham Jean ad, and I feel bad for the John family in that one. For those who don't know, Botham John's the gentleman who was sitting in his apartment in Dallas when a police officer came into his crib and shot him. She said she thought she was going to her own apartment because she lived in the same building, and she came into the wrong one. And then she went in there and she shot him and he died. The woman was ultimately sentenced to, as I recall, a fairly lengthy term in prison after being convicted. But the problem that I had with that ad, and where I feel bad for the family has got to be looking at this like, I got a chance to share my son's story, right? We are proud of our son. We love this, you know, this man who's, you know, our son, our brother, whatever it is. And they're like, hey, man, we can tell the story of his life. And now we got an audience of 100 million people who are going to see the story of his life. Like, get where they're coming from, totally. My problem with it as an advertisement, at least for Inspire Change, is this is not representative of what the larger problem is. When that woman shot him, she was not operating in the capacity of a police officer. Like, this is an off-duty situation. Now, there's some stuff that happened after the killing that make you raise some different questions about the police and how they get down. But this was not your standard abuse of power situation that people typically are talking about when we start worrying about what goes on with the police. The other thing that was atypical about this case was that the woman who did it was actually convicted. right? The big problem that folks have in these situations is not simply that the cops get out here and kill people or rough them up or whatever. The problem is that nothing tends to happen to them. And so to champion a story about a time that something did happen to the cop when all parties involved know that that is a rarity is to misrepresent what the problem is. And there's a, it allows a different kind of both sidesing. And so much of this in the way Inspire Change works is always about a both sides thing. And that was the same thing with the Anquan Boldin ad where his cousin got killed. Like, it's a real, we need to come together and talk, a both sidesing of the situation. And everybody else, like Trump and Bloomberg, man, they're just using that as something to talk about. That's it, right? It's a campaign point, but it's just something for them to talk about. And then that takes us back to when Jay-Z got involved in this in the first place, where he's going to do some things behind social justice. Is that what's being done? Because on one level, I'm surprised that the NFL even ran those ads during a game, because I never thought they'd give this much attention to the initiative. And maybe this is part of the Jay-Z push. It's like, yo, you got to put this stuff on TV. But what are you putting on TV? What are you doing? And Jay-Z gets a flattering profile, and Roc Nation gets a flattering profile in the New York Times that champions the corporate way that they're going to go about trying to achieve these social justice initiatives. And then we get to the nighttime, and what do we see? We see how corporations do this. And the way the corporations are doing this is a whole lot of both sides. And what nobody seems to explicitly want to say is the issue that people had with Kaepernick was not that he didn't stand for the anthem. It's that he explicitly said the reason that he did not was to protest the mistreatment of black people. That was the problem. That's why he's not in the league. That's why Inspire Change can exist as it does, because Inspire Change is not saying black people are mistreated. Inspire Change is saying we need to have a dialogue. Everybody out here tripping, right? And I can't say explicitly that Jay-Z is not saying that black people are being mistreated, but this is the operation that he got his hands on. And I fear that when all this shakes out, Jay-Z is going to use the press to make himself look better. The NFL is going to use ads like this to make themselves look better. And the people that they're claiming to help are going to look exactly the same. We'll be back in a minute to talk about Friday night at the Staples Center, but first, tired of that 230 feeling? You're not alone. In fact, research shows that more than 70% of us hit the wall after lunch. Let a 5-hour energy shot help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. Anyone who travels frequently knows how tiring it can be. Whether you're on business or on vacation, 5-hour energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you may be headed. 5-hour energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. With zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hard-working people. Now it comes in 2 extra-strength tropical teas, strawberry banana and tropical burst. They're great. They are delicious and can take you to a tropical on-the-go experience. Try them both, then go online to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. That's shop5hourenergy.com. Use the code BOMANI. Go to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10%. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. All right, Friday night at Staples Center. The Lakers played their first game after Kobe Bryant had passed away. I tuned in to watch it. Gabe, did you tune in?
I did watch portions of it.
I had no idea what it was going to be before it happened. Like, I didn't know what the scope of it was going to be. I had no clue, none whatsoever, what we were going to get walking in. And so they pad out to the floor, and they got the flowers, and it's like an 8, and it's a 24. You know, one of them joints is like standing on an easel. Like, if you watch The Wire, it's kind of like when Stringer Bell died, and they had, or whoever died, D'Angelo died, and they had the flowers that looked like the Gat. It was like that, but like 8 and 24. And so they were there, and we get started, and Usher came out, and Usher sang Amazing Grace. Gabe, I got to say, man, I feel like y'all got to ease us into Amazing Grace. You can't just come off the rip with that, can you?
Came for the heart, man.
That was a little tough. Like, I did not know we were showing up for an Amazing Grace ceremony. No, I did not. We started with, I'm like, oh, okay, we come with the big guns now. And Usher was trying to, you know, do all the jazzy stuff with it and hit the notes. And they did that. And then Boyz II Men came out because, you know, they from Philly. And so Boyz II Men, at least three of them that's still singing, they did the national anthem. And then they did the intros where everybody's name during the intro was Kobe Bryant. Wasn't really here for that, but I mean, I guess. All right, they did that. We had LeBron. He gave a speech to the crowd. All that took place, right? And, you know, they had to do something. I don't know what the plan is for a public memorial, when there would be a public memorial. I suppose that this may have been the closest thing there was going to be to a memorial, so they needed to get it all out there as they did. And I'm just letting everybody here know right now, okay, just so you can know something about me. If I show up and they sing an Amazing Grace, let me tell you what we not about to do after that. Play no basketball. Okay, would you have been able to play?
I probably would have not played.
I could not have played. Melo was the one dude who had the right idea. Melo, like, man, I ain't even going down there, bro. I can't do this. Right? Can you imagine if Melo had talked himself into it and been like, nah, man, this is just what Kobe want. I'm going to come out here and play. And then they hit him with Amazing Grace. He'd have to leave. Ain't no shade to Melo. I'd have had to leave. There's no way in the world. We asked so much out of those dudes in that circumstance for them to go out there and play after that, right? I just, like, if that was the tone that it was going to take, then I think there shouldn't have been a basketball game. But I don't blame them for taking the tone because that's kind of where people were coming from. Like, you know, the dude, the PA announcer for the Lakers who's always so stoic and always in that same voice. You heard his quiver?
I did hear that.
Like, it was, I mean, it was, oh, man. It was so much. And then LeBron giving that speech, and he didn't play particularly well that game, which I can't blame him for. But also, I feel like I watched something interesting happen as it related to LeBron in that. After this, LeBron's going to be good money with the Kobe fans forever. Here's what I think happened, though, on a very substantial level. And this is, I think, I learned from all the stuff that we did with the voicemails and things like that. It seems that a lot of those Kobe fans felt like LeBron was just another person, not even another. He was the first one who was there to replace Kobe, right? Because it was like, you know, nobody wants to give Kobe his credit. You always want to talk about somebody else. Why don't you want to talk about Kobe? And then the next big thing comes around and they looked at him as a guy who was trying to be seen as a guy trying to erase Kobe and trying to replace Kobe. And I think that LeBron made it clear to them in this that that's neither what he wanted to do, nor what he's going to do. I feel like all of this happening has put some things in some different lights for all people. And I think one of those things is, I doubt LeBron James has ever been like, I'm going to make it where you don't think Kobe Bryant ever existed. It's not going to be that. But I think now, as he has paid such homage to Kobe Bryant in this time and said so much about how he feels about Kobe, and then standing as the guy, taking it on his shoulders to talk to the crowd and everything else, like, I'm going to be the one to carry us through. Like they said in the meeting that they first had about this, one thing LeBron said to the team was, I got these broad shoulders for a reason. Like, he's taking this on. Win a championship, lose a championship. Like, I don't think we're ever going to hear again about how, yeah, LeBron, Kobe would have, you know, Kobe would got fired. Since LeBron's not trying to replace him, I think a lot of that is going to go away. And it kind of puts LeBron in an interesting place where, as everybody was always coming for Kobe, no one's going to really come for LeBron in that. Like, the way we view Bill Russell is the way we're going to view LeBron, right? We're not even going to view Michael Jordan in that way because Michael Jordan don't really care that much about being a statesman for anything larger than Michael Jordan. But LeBron's going to be that guy. And I feel like that is this is the beginning of him not simply being the face of the NBA, but like him being the face of the NBA for the next 40 years. Hopefully. Like, that's where we are. But congratulations to all of us, man. Last week was a monster. Last week was a lot. I mean, I feel like I can say that for just about everybody. I don't know anybody who didn't feel like last week was a lot. Last week was a lot for us. And, hey, man, we got through. And we're going to keep on going. So, I admire your strength because I know it wasn't easy.
We know you can't be on top of all the news and information of the day. No need for the social media feeds. We got you. Now, if you haven't heard.
All right, our first story is from Metro, and it's from Laura Wagner Advice.
According to the NYPD and the MTA, fare evasion in the New York City subway is increasing, and it's costing the system hundreds of millions. They say it's necessary to crack down on the freeloaders to save money and keep people safe. But, crucially, there's no real evidence that shows that fare evasion is increasing or how much money it's costing the MTA. And crime is actually down in the subway. No one is saying fare evasion doesn't happen, but without any credible data on how much fare evasion is happening, data on fare evasion enforcement is the next best thing. But for years, the NYPD has skirted a law requiring them to release this data on a quarterly basis, first blowing deadlines and then publishing sloppy, incomplete data sets that can't be used for any meaningful analysis. Now, though, thanks to City Councilman Rory Lantzman and the nonprofit Community Service Society of New York, we have that complete data from all 423 subway stations over a period of 6 months. The data shows what many New Yorkers already knew from experience. Cops bust people for fare evasion with greater frequency in high-poverty neighborhoods. And the rate of fare evasion enforcement is about 60% higher in high-poverty neighborhoods that are predominantly Black and Latinx compared to high-poverty neighborhoods that are white and Asian. And yet, in December, the MTA passed a budget that allocates $250 million to hire 500 more subway cops. The official narrative about fare evasion and broken windows policing in general isn't tied to data, but to dubious claims about why New York subway system is failing, and to politically driven arguments for law and order policies that affect real people.
Yo, man, it is so wild, like, seeing what stations have all the cops that are trying to stop people. Because, look, this is the thing. This is what I feel about this. And I feel confident saying this. Teenagers, like kids, whatever, hopping them turnstiles or whatever it is and doing all this sneaking in, maybe they got the money in their pocket, maybe they don't, right? I don't know, right? And I'm not one of those people that's like, the subway should be free. I mean, there's an argument for it, but I also think there's an argument for a nominal fee to keep the thing running. Like, these things have to pay for themselves one way or another, so I don't really have a problem necessarily with the idea of a fare. But youngsters, yeah, they typically ain't got no money. Right. And so they doing whatever they can. And when you're a kid, you just like sneaking into stuff. Right. It's just one of those things. But I'm here to tell you right now, anybody over 30, I'll be safe. Call it 35 years old. Anybody 35 years old that's ducking under a turnstile or hopping over one, I'm here to tell you they don't have the money. And you know how I know they don't have the money? Because the way they back is going to feel after they go through all of that to hop that turnstile or to duck under that thing is not worth $2.75 if you got it in your pocket. I'm just here to let you know that if you did not know. Okay, they had the protesters out on, I think it was Friday. I got off the train before it happened, but they were shutting it down. Like, they was going in there with gluing doors open so that people could get on and everything else. People have had enough.
Gluing doors open?
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, you got the turnstile and then the emergency door.
Yes.
And so they glued the emergency door open.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was the safest thing in the world that anybody's ever done, but it was like, people are fed up. My thing is, if we are going to be paying this $2.75, can y'all clean these things up a little bit? Like, I just don't see any reason why it is that every subway station looks so terrible. Like, even the ones that are heavily trafficked and the tourists are going to go to, they are like, why do they always look so bad? What is my money going toward? And I came to find out, you notice that the Madison Square Garden ain't paid no taxes on their property over there, and I forget how long?
Yeah.
Like decades?
Yeah, I knew that.
It's not like $550 million they saved that could be put on that subway. They're redoing Penn Station, which is the most miserable place in New York City. And so in the course of redoing it and what they're going to figure out, they found out that the Madison Square Garden people hadn't been paying the taxes. They put that money in the subway, man, we'd be cruising. Instead, we just riding the subway.
Yeah, and also, too, the, like, grand wizard that they hired to fix the subway system.
Oh, you got fired.
Well, he resigned.
Yeah, he quit.
Yeah.
Said he got tired of putting up with Cuomo.
It's even another layer other than getting fired. It's like, no, I've had enough.
Yes.
I quit.
Yes. And people were like, he was doing a great job. I'm like, damn, how come his great job he ain't get to do a great job long enough for us to tell? It could just be better. And what we don't need is just trying to lock people up on some nonsense. Like, shouldn't you be out here fighting crime? That's always my feeling on stuff like that. Shouldn't you be out here fighting crime?
Yeah, could you explain for people broken windows policing if they don't know what it is?
Oh, yeah, it's just the base. It's the idea that if you clean up these little things, like people hopping the subway and stuff like that, then everything else will get better because of the attention to detail. And I do think there's something to be said for, like, taking care of the little things, right? Like, I do think there's a value to your city, for example, having cleaner subways or better looking subway stations. But worry more about that. The people hopping the subway is not the issue. Like, that's not making people believe that we got this rampant state of lawlessness. That's not what the issue is. The thing about broken windows policing, though, was New York under Giuliani is when people really held this up. And they're like, yo, we came in here, we bust some heads, then things got better. But the economy also went on an upswing at the same time. And that upswing was not related to stopping people from hopping subway turnstile.
All right, this next one is an international tech story.
This is Matthew Galt from Vice Motherboard. Europe just voted in favor of making iPhone and Androids use the same charger. The move will make it more likely that the iPhone will have to use the USB-C and would cut down on lots of charging cable waste. We've all got them, those drawers at home that are full of old charging cables. You buy a new device, you get a new charging cable. You usually have to do this because they're different between devices. Europe wants to change that. The European Parliament voted 582-40 in favor of a resolution urging lawmakers to set a standard for charging cables. Continuing fragmentation of the market for chargers for mobile phones and other small and medium-sized electronic devices translates into an increase in e-waste and consumer frustration, the resolution said. Now, the resolution is not a law. For the resolution to become a law, the European Commission would have to draft a law and vote on it in early July. But the idea of adopting a charging cable standard has overwhelming support in Europe, as evidenced by the 582-40 vote. Now, with some exceptions, chargers either use USB-C, micro USB, or Apple's Lightning cable, and the vast majority of the industry uses micro USB and is slowly adopting the USB-C. This legislation would mostly affect Apple's proprietary Lightning cable. We believe regulation that forces conformity across the type of connector built into a smartphone stifles innovation rather than encouraging it and would harm consumers in Europe and the economy as a whole, Apple said in a statement that was published in the Financial Times. We hope the Commission will continue to seek a solution that does not restrict the industry's ability to innovate and bring exciting new technology to customers. The EU resolution pointed to e-waste as one of the biggest reasons the industry needs to adopt a charging cable standard. 50 million metric tons of e-waste is generated globally per year, with an average of more than 6 kilograms per person, it said.
I gotta say, do we know what the difference is in these charges, honestly? Because I feel like Apple just wanted to find a way to make some extra money, and it would be easier if everybody used the same charger, but I do kind of get the idea of, like, maybe there's some innovation in these charger tips. Do you know? Because I don't.
I'm not aware of any innovation that's, like, specific to these Apple Lightning chargers. It does strike me as just kind of like a way to differentiate, switch things up so that people keep having to pay in.
Yeah, but, like, I do hate having to have, like, two sets of chargers.
Yeah, of course. Everyone hates it, which is why this is a great thing, I think.
Yeah. Make it happen. Make it happen. The Europeans, they seem to be looking out for the people.
All right, this last story comes from The Environment.
I'm Mary Callahan, a reporter from the Press Democrat newspaper in Santa Rosa, California. I recently published a story on new research concerning the effects of ocean acidification on developing juvenile Dungeness crab. Dungeness crab support a $200 million commercial fishery on the west coast of the United States and are an iconic winter holiday treat in Northern California, where I live and work. The new study was funded by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and found that tiny larval crab collected offshore of Washington and Oregon already are having developmental issues that scientists hadn't expected to see for decades yet. These juvenile crabs are only 7 or 8 millimeters in size, but using scanning electron microscopes, researchers can already tell that some of their developing shells are misshapen and damaged. The affected crabs are also smaller than they should be. The crabs also have bristly, hair-like sensory organs called mechanoreceptors that stick out from their shells and are believed to help them navigate through the water. It turns out a lot of these structures are falling out, and it looks as if the points where they're anchored to the crab's shells have kind of collapsed under the effects of acidification and the way in which the shells are dissolving. Ocean acidification happens because of the accumulation of excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is getting absorbed into the world's oceans and changing their chemistry. One of the effects that's been predicted and demonstrated in lab experiments is that more acidic water reduces the availability of calcium carbonate, one of the elemental building blocks crustaceans and other shellfish need to grow strong, thick shells. Acidic water also corrodes their shells as they develop. What's more, scientists say that acidification is happening faster in the nearshore waters along the west coast than elsewhere on the globe, and especially along California. Those are the same areas where valuable commercial and recreational shellfish fisheries exist, from oysters and crab to clams and abalone.
Bro, the water is dissolving the crabs?
Might as well get Dungeness crab while you can, because there aren't going to be that many more in the future. It's really sad for, like, the West Coast and Pacific Northwest, too, in particular, where it's a big part of the economy, the seafood industry. Yeah.
And look, I guess, like, the nature of the world, things are here, then they gone, all this stuff. At the same time, it's us. The world ain't doing this. We are. Y'all out here messing up. Do we want to live in a world where we ain't got no crab to eat? And by the way, for the crabs, how do you think they'd rather have this go? They'd rather have their shells dissolved, or they'd rather, you know, get boiled in water by us?
Literally boiled in the water. The oceans
are
like,
wow, I guess it's happening no matter what.
But imagine if you're the crab. Imagine just like the world changing around you, and you don't have like a complex of enough thought process to understand why. But it's just like the word, damn.
Why is it so hot? Fair point. We'll be back in a minute with he's still in the league. But first, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's what NetSuite by Oracle has set out to solve. Because most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. The question for any business owner out there is, are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? I mean, I know how that feels like. I get some bad info, some bad stats, and then I try to come out here and talk to y'all. You think I'm crazy. But serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances all in one place in real time, right from your phone or your desktop. No more guessing. No more worry that what you don't know could kill your company. That's why NetSuite customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500, and you can too. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits at netsuite.com/Bomani. Set up your free demo and get your free guide today at netsuite.com/Bomani. netsuite.com/Bomani.
Have you ever watched the game and thought, wow, I didn't know they still played? Well, you're not alone. The Right Time with Bomani Jones asked the question, is he still in the league?
Still in the league. We're back.
All right.
Mid-season edition of Still in the League, because we got the All-Star break coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, man. I intentionally did not study anything.
Oh, you didn't study anything, so there was a possibility that you would have studied.
No, it's not a possibility I would have studied, but like I tried to, you know, for work, I got to look at box scores and stuff. And so I tried to avoid it just for you.
Oh, just for us. Okay, well, I appreciate that. I put in some research of my own, on the other hand.
Oh!
To try and switch it up, trying to make it a little bit more tricky. Because last time you almost, I believe you got all 10 of them right.
Ah.
So we'll try and switch it up a little bit for you on this time. Number one, still in the league, Lance Thomas.
Ooh! I'm going to say still in the league. He's not.
Not in the league.
Did he fall out with Coach K or something? Damn.
Yeah. Played for the Knicks last year. No longer in the league. That's a James Jackson, Florida James contribution.
Is he over there in one of the mother countries?
He's just not playing right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. He does something. Wow. By the way, credit to him. There's no way in 2010 you would have told me that in 2020 I would have guessed that he was still in the league or ever had been in the league.
0-for-1. Let's see if you can rebound here. I have a smile on my face because I already am off to a good start. Number 2. Frank Mason III.
All right. I know Frank used to play for the Pelicans. I'm going to say he's in the league.
What team, though? I'm not going to dock you points if you get the team wrong. But
hey, he sounds like a Sacramento King to me.
He's on the Bucks.
Oh, good for him.
Good for him on a playoff team. Next one. Yogi Ferrell.
All right, Yogi Ferrell had earned him like a little guaranteed deal or something like that when he was with the Mavericks before, but I didn't know if he was any good. I'm going to say he's in the league. Yeah.
All right. 2-for-3.
Who's he play for?
He plays for the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, yeah, he seems like a Sacramento King. In fact, everybody on this list sounds like a Sacramento King.
Yeah, they took a flyer on him after he had that outburst, like you said, with the Mavericks, and then he just kind of tailed off since then, so I figured it might trip you up.
Yeah, plus also, by the way, if you want to, like, hide from me, just go play for Sacramento Kings. I'll never know you were there. Owe me some money, go play for the Kings.
Next one, Miles Plumlee.
out of respect for the NBA as an institution, I'm going to say he's not in the league. NBA too good for Miles Plumlee to play in it.
Yeah, Miles Plumlee plays in the Australian League.
Oh, but he's still getting money somewhere. Good for him. He might be the worst first round pick of my life. Like, I could not believe somebody took him in the first round. It was stunning. Right? Like, I understood why Duke gave him an offer. They wanted his brother. I couldn't believe they drafted Miles Plumlee in the first round.
Yeah, that nepotism.
My boy used to say about the Plumlees, three Plumlees is a waste of two scholarships.
I don't even remember which of the Plumlee brothers was the good one.
Mason.
Mason.
Mason's good. Mason's a good NBA player.
Okay. So he's for sure still in the league. He's not on the list today, but.
Yes.
All right, next one. Jarrett Jack.
All right. If I'm 39 years old, Jarrett Jack is not in the NBA. He's too old. Is he somewhere on an Onyx revival tour?
He's in the G League.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, playing for the Sioux Falls Skyforce.
How much would you have to love basketball to be Jarrett Jack's age playing for the Sioux Falls Skyforce?
Doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah, like what's he going to do? Show them his potential?
Hey, he's taking up minutes from other dudes.
Yo, why is he even on the team? Wow.
Next one. Shane Larkin.
Don't know where. Gonna say yes. In the league. Ah! He over there hooping with a passport.
Yes, he is. He's in the Euro League.
He out there not sure if he gonna get paid this week.
Hey, easy on the Euro League, man.
No, but they're notorious for stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I'm not sure if they allow you to sign up for direct deposit. Like, yeah, we don't really do anything automatic over here.
Is Venmo international?
Like, you get paid when you get paid.
Next one. Alfonso McKinney.
Not in the league. Remind me who he is.
Alfonso McKinney, formerly of the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yeah! What do you play for now?
Plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, wow. Talk about a change.
Yeah, which is kind of like where you go once you've won a title with the Warriors and you barely made that roster because they were just looking for filler, like our boy Pat McCaw.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to be another one on the list, but I think I'd used him before. Next one. Gary Payton II.
I'm going to say he's not in the league because I feel like if he was in the league, I would know it.
Man, I'm on a roll.
Who's he play for?
Washington Wizards.
Oh, that's another great place to hide.
That's kind of like the East Coast version of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. Well, the Hornets are witness protection.
Witness protection. That's cool, man. That's cool.
It's so true. The Hornets, the Magic. You can hide from me on the Magic.
Let's take stock of where you're at right now. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 correct, and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 wrong. Ooh, batting 50 right now.
Yeah, thanks.
Two more to go. Let's see how you do. Next one, Tyler Ennis.
James Ennis is still in the league. Tyler Ennis is not. There we go.
Yeah, getting back on the right side now, going into the last one. He plays for the 905 Raptors of the G League.
Ah, G League, okay.
Ooh, I got to pick wisely for this last one if I'm going to try and bring you down.
Hater.
All right. Oh, boy. Let's see. Tomas Satoransky. Last one.
He used to play for the Wizards. I'm going to say he's back somewhere closer to his crib, not in the league.
Yes! Yes!
Why are you so excited about this?
Because I brought you down. You didn't get a winning record.
Why would would you want that?
Because I got to make sure that I'm doing my research right.
What? I had no idea you were a hater.
Oh, you had no idea I was a hater. Well, it's victory for me.
I guess you deserve it since your little Super Bowl team lost.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, applaud that. Yeah, applaud
applause,
that.
Applause.
Great job,
soak
Chiefs. Way
Thank
to go,
you,
KC.
Thank you, everyone.
That's right. Pat Mahomes, greatest of all time. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do you want to know where he plays?
Yes, I do.
He plays for the Chicago Bulls.
Good place to hide.
Yeah, another good place.
Good place to hide.
That'll do it for Still in the League. Until next time, Bomani Jones, 5 for 5 today.
Damn, you just had to do that again.
5 for 10 today.
you're a real mark for that one. But it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thank you to our sponsors, My Computer Career, ZipRecruiter, 5-Hour Energy, and NetSuite. Get money. Also, thanks to our If You Haven't Heard contributors. Thanks to Laura Wagner of Vice. Check out her story on subway fare enforcement in New York City at Vice.com. Also, thanks to Matthew Galt of Vice. Check out his story on Europe making iPhones and Androids go to the same charger. And thanks to Mary Callahan of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Check out her story on how the acidity of the water is messing up the crab game out there on the West Coast. All right, remember, subscribe to The Right Time. Check us out wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.